Three, two, one. Hello, my favorite person, my partner in crime, my work wife, my work husband, my best friend, my soulmate. How are you doing today? Welcome back to your favorite therapy session with your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated nurse, Nurse John. And we are back to your favorite podcast. I beg your pardon. How are you, bestie? I miss you, miss you, miss you so much. Do you smell what I'm smelling right now? It is the smell of fall season. This is actually my number one favorite season of all because it's not too hot and it's not too cold. It's in between and I can wear sweater and not too much of like, you know, like a winter jacket and not also like just a tank top. Like I can actually dress up and look good. It's a white girl, church girl vibe fashion. I don't know if you know about that, guys, but it's in Tumblr, Pinterest. When it's fall season, the white girl, Catholic girl vibe fashion is in, where you're wearing a beanie, a oversized sweater, and your leggings, and your UGG boots, and then you're holding your pumpkin spice latte, which I have right now. Look, guys, I just made here in my studio a pumpkin spice latte. Let's do a quick ASMR. But like I told you guys, I only drink cold stuff, like cold drinks. I don't like hot coffee. I can never do hot coffee unless it's really cold, which happens a lot of time here in Canada because we get like negative 40s, negative 45 here in Quebec. I would drink like a hot chocolate, but still I would sweat a lot. I don't know if I'm like, I think I'm really hot blooded. I don't know how you say that, but anytime I drink something that is super hot, I just start sweating way too much and I don't like that. But also, contrary to eating food, I like my food hot, like burning hot. Like my tongue has to be like burnt for me to eat food. If not, I'm not gonna eat anything that's cold. I don't know how people eat cold pizza, cold pasta, anything cold. Like if the food is meant to be hot, for me, it should be hot for you to eat it. You're not supposed to eat it cold from the fridge type of thing. So yeah, I'm just mixing this. So pumpkin spice latte is actually one of my favorite drinks. And if you don't know, I used to work in Starbucks and that is my favorite drink to make. Because right now, for sure, Starbucks has it out and they also have the pumpkin bread, the pumpkin cake pop, everything cinnamon, and they probably have some cinnamon apple cider latte too, which is super good. I like everything that has to do with like cinnamon, pumpkin. I can make some pumpkin pies too. I hope you're making some, bestie. It's my favorite pumpkin pie, and invite me. And it's also time for Thanksgiving. I don't know what you guys do in Thanksgiving, but for me, I celebrate it with my family. I also celebrate it with my friends, my boys. I call them my boys because we all went to nursing school together. And then we decided at one point, like 5 years ago, that we went on a hiking trip in fall season with four nurses, one doctor, three army people. And then it just became like a tradition that every single Thanksgiving here in Canada, we would go hiking in different places and go camping, like wild camping. I don't like glamping, where everything is like set up for you and then you have a stove and everything. I like it like rough type of thing. So we're doing that this month. I am so excited. It's just so nice to be outside in nature. Also, you see all the foliage and the trees are turning yellow, orange, reddish, and it's just so, so beautiful. And there's so many mountains and sceneries here in Quebec, which you should visit because that's one thing I love about Quebec. But of course, no one's going to beat like British Columbia or anything, but we're very close to Vermont, which is so beautiful too, which probably is going to be the place where we're going to be hiking and camping. Anyhow, let me taste my pumpkin spice latte. You guys, so good. And also, I would recommend for you to make like a cream foam on top. And you don't have to go to Starbucks to make this. All you have to do is grab a blender, get a 35% milk and a pumpkin puree somewhere in your supermarket and just vanilla syrup. And then mix those. And then you have a cream foam. And it's super good. I'm telling you right now. Anyways, Beshi, so an update with my life. I have a new ink right here. Well, it's not really a new ink. Like when I say ink, like a tattoo, it's just I got this dragon tattoo in my arms, my left arm. But the thing is, the tattoo artist didn't, I guess the first one didn't really give the justice that I was like kind of looking for, but she still did an amazing job and I love it. It's just that it's missing some live. So then I contacted another tattoo artist to kind of give my dragon some life. And now I'm super happy with how it ended up because there's more life into it. Though it's not following kind of like the aesthetic of my whole tattoo plan, which is fine lines. But I'm still very happy because I can still see like fine lines in it. But yeah, so I have the tattoo. And also I'm so excited for Christmas, guys. I'm starting to play Mariah Carey. She's defrosting at this moment. All I want for Christmas is you. Before that though, there's Halloween. So one thing also that I don't understand with North America when I move here from the Philippines is that Halloween is more celebrated than Christmas and other holidays. I'm not just talking about Canada, like North America too. I mean like United States. But what I mean is that people go out, like they go full on costume, they go partying. But back in the Philippines, we don't do that because that for us is kind of like disrespectful. Instead, what we do is we have like the Day of the Dead or Días de los Muertos in Spanish. And what we do is we gather as a whole, like family gather from different like cities and wherever they are. And we visit like our family in the cemetery and we stay there and we just eat, talk about that family who died, like the days they were with us, all the good things, to kind of like remember them so you don't forget them. I don't know if you guys have seen the Disney movie Coco, but basically that's what we do. We try to remember them again so that we don't forget them. And we tell like the younger kids in our family that, hey, this is your uncle and he was such a good uncle, he always cares for everybody, blah blah blah, all of those stuff. We do that so we don't forget them. And then so yeah, when I moved here to Canada, it's shocking to me, but also I was excited because we never really had like Halloween party or trick or treat in the Philippines. When I came here in 2012, I was so excited to dress up and go door to door, even though I was like 18 years old back then. I just needed to get that experience of like the things I've been seeing in movies, like teen horror movies or anyways, like American TV shows of them like trick or treating. And then I started bringing my little cousins, asked them for the Kit Kats and the Snickers in their bag. I was like, I'm going to bring you to trick or treat, but as long as you're going to give me the Kit Kats and the Snickers as a replacement. So yeah, I never really understand that, but now I kind of understand. But at the same time, I don't know if we should be really celebrating Halloween. You know what I mean? Like people are dressed up as demons and whatnot. And I'm just like, isn't this too satanic or something? Anyways, before we even start for this episode, do me a favor, Bessie. If you're listening right now, make sure you download this episode and the past episode. This will really help our podcast to be always on the chart and so that other people can listen to it, not just healthcare worker, but everybody else, so they understand what we're going through. And also make sure you follow our podcast in Apple and Spotify. You share it and you turn on notifications. Perfect. Sounds good. So this episode is actually not so hype, not so fun, like how I started this whole podcast, because this episode is all about horror stories, real life experiences from people who submitted when I asked them in Instagram of horror stories they experienced working in a hospital. So are you ready, bestie? Get your pumpkin spice latte, get comfy, get some Bible and some holy water, because baby, this is it. We're gonna get scared. And let's start off with like, I guess I'm gonna give you guys some like background history of where I came from, because in the Philippines, we're big believers of, first of all, superstitious stuff and ghosts. Because in the Asian culture, these things really do exist. It's not like how it's overly exaggerated here in the United States when they make movies and whatnot. But in the Asian culture, we respect this kind of situation and we really do believe in like ghosts, spirits, demons, because they do exist. Just like if you believe in God, you should believe in evil, because good cannot just be good. There's always good and there's always bad. They coexist at the same time. Anyways, so in my culture, we have a lot of superstitious beliefs that we have. And I can give you some of the things of that we believe in. So first of all, starting with the whole like visiting the cemetery during the Day of the Dead, whenever we go back home after you know, gathering in the cemetery, we make sure that we put up a candle in front of our door. That candle signifies that, hey, if there is like any lost spirit, like wandering, because we all believe that there is a lot more like lost spirit wandering during those days. And basically, that candle signifies that, hey, you cannot enter this house because this is not your house. Someone else owns this, which is like, let's say, the family member who died and they're protecting this house. So you cannot enter here. Because what happens is if you don't do that, you can be possessed or like some lost spirit can enter your house and they would stay there. You can experience exorcism or some shit like that. So anyway, so that's one. So what happens in the Philippines is if someone's dead, again, we do the funeral at that person's home. And then after 3, 4, 5 days, we bury the casket, the person. But the thing is, we do procession first. So we walk from the house to the nearest church where we're going to do the blessing of the priest for the dead body. And then we put the casket on this like almost like a limousine car where the casket is going to fit. And everyone walks like a procession. It could take like 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, depending on how far is the church. So they say that never look back or go back to the house when you start the procession. Mourners should not return to the house or even look back at it when the funeral procession starts. Otherwise, you'll bring both the bad luck and more deaths to the family. And I'm telling you right now, Filipino people believes in this so hard. And it's crazy. Next. Step over burning grass before going home. Mourners should walk over burning grass or a guava leaf before going home from the burial site to prevent spirits of the dead from following them home. Cigarettes can also be lit using this fire. So that's another thing that we follow actually, is that we make sure that whatever shoes we bring in the cemetery before we get home, we wipe it down on like a burned grass or something to make sure that no spirit follows us. Other than the whole candle thing that you put in front of your door, we do that too. Like, make sure you take away bad luck or a way for bad spirit to follow you. Next, this one is super big. Don't sweep the floor during a funeral. If relatives sweep the floor, it can be interpreted as banishing the spirit of the dead from the house. It may also result in other family members following the dead into the afterlife. Family members can pick trash up and wipe the floor with a wet cloth instead. So we never sweep the floor. So no matter how dirty it is, because it can get dirty really, because people are coming in your house, in your living room where this casket is, so that they can, you know, see the person. But then your whole house is going to be messy and dirty because people will bring their shoes in. You cannot tell the 100 people who's going to be visiting, who knows, let's say your grandpa or your uncle or whoever died, that they should remove their shoes, because then it's all going to accumulate in front of your house. So you just let them come in. So whatever they take from those shoes, it could be poop, mud, or anything, goes into your house. And you can never sweep, because this is banishing the spirit of the dead person, and you're taking them away from, like, it's really crazy. And I know this is a little too much, but again, I just want to let other people know who doesn't believe in these things, that not because you have not done this or have experienced it or don't believe in this doesn't mean that these people who believe in this are crazy. Again, we do not invalidate someone else's experience just because we never experienced it. I don't like that. And I hope you don't do that on other people. Not because you never experienced it doesn't mean someone else's experience is not valid. Period. Point. Point. Period. Next. This is another thing which is, I think, is a little too much. But don't shower or comb your hair. At least in the place where the funeral is being held. Otherwise, you'll bring bad luck on the family. Sometimes in the form of consequent deaths. If you'd like to take a shower, you may do it in another house. So when my grandfather died, so we held the funeral in our house. So basically, for me to be able to take a shower, I have to take a shower in my auntie's house, because I can never take a shower in our house, because again, it could mean that there's gonna be consequent deaths that can happen in our family, and we're trying to avoid those things. And it's just so funny because it gives so much anxiety to a lot of people. You know? And again, these are just superstitious stuff that we believe. And I guess it's good for me to share you guys so you know some stuff about me and my culture. And probably other cultures too. And I know there's a lot of other cultures in Eastern European, in Asian culture, in Latino culture that they do believe in this kind of things. Anyways, let's head on to the real life experiences of different healthcare workers and their horror story. So let's get into it. First story. I was deployed to an orthopedic unit for a night shift and they warned me of a room that was haunted. I did not believe them. The room was unoccupied that night. Sure enough, the buzzer went off every 2 hours on the dot. Put it down to an electrical problem but was told they had fixed it the day before. Went to check the room myself and found an indentation on the bed as if someone had been sitting there. It was unoccupied. The aircon was freezing in the room. Was enough to give me chills and I never went back. So first of all, girl, if the room is empty and pump starts beeping for me, there is something wrong. So it's either, okay, first of all, it could be that the pumps, the IV pumps is low battery. But then even then for me, I would never go in an empty room where there is a noise alone. Even though it's an IV pump, even though it's empty, even though I will take someone with me to go with me on that empty room because again, it's a hospital. One thing I could never do actually is sleep in the hospital because I have had colleagues who slept in one of the empty rooms. Let's say we don't have any admission coming and we have empty beds. They sleep on those beds. And for me, I could never. I've seen so many people die on that bed. And I could not put myself in there just thinking of like, I'm also using the same linen that whoever died there use or someone else's use. So for me, I could never. Or even sleep in like the couch next to the bed, still not in the room. I have to sleep in one of the office or the break room or anything like that because otherwise I'm not gonna fall asleep. I'm just gonna keep looking at the ceiling and waiting for something to pop up because I know somebody's watching me. And secondly, if you see an indentation and nobody's there, girl, you never go in. There's no curiosity going in here. There's no more like, oh wait, let me check. No, girl, for me, I'm running to the nursing station. I'm opening all the lights. I'm playing some gospel music because, baby, there is someone in there that you don't know. And I would never, in all of this like horror films where there are ghosts, I'm sorry to say this, but white people always do engage in the goddamn situation, in the most dangerous shit. They know that it's like the door has been opening for like 10 times and they see that there's no one in there, but they will still go down on that freaking basement and check what's going on. And they get so scared and then they die because they check. Like, babe, run away from the house, burn the house. Like, that's what you should be doing, not engaging to the real danger. You know what I mean? Crazy. Next. I work in a memory care home while I was in nursing school. We had a resident who always made it known when she needed something by yelling, "Yoo-hoo!" One night, she passed not long after starting my night shift, and the nurse, myself, the other aide, Yai, low staffing, got her cleaned up and off to the funeral home. It was super late into my shift when I finally got the chance to chart, and as I am doing it, I hear an unmistakable "Yoo-hoo!" from the direction of her room. I was freaked out, but told myself I was just being insane. Well, that's when the nurse came running around the corner saying, "You just heard that, right?" We walked through every single room and for possibly the first time ever, everyone was asleep. We both 100% swore it was her voice. I had goosebumps the rest of the shift. Okay, so I don't know, but this is so true too. Whenever someone died, like recently, like we're talking about like 5 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, an hour ago, 4 hours ago, but in that same day, for some reason, a lot of people sees that person after they die, where they are. Like the spot where they died or somewhere in the place, in the environment where they die. And it's just so creepy and scary because I don't know what's the logic or what's the scientific explanation to this, but why do they see them after they die? like quickly enough. And this is crazy to me to think, because I don't want that to happen. I mean, I didn't see my grandpa. And you know, when my grandpa died, I was really wishing to myself, I was crying so much that I was talking to him and to God. And I was like, please, 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 just let me talk to him one more time. I just want to know if he is okay, or if he is out of pain. And I keep wishing that he shows up to me. But thinking about it now, I'm like, Grandpa, Lolo, don't show up to me, please. But actually, there is a way that spirits, or, you know, dead people shows up after they die. So this is another thing that I guess it's a superstitious belief that we have in the Philippines, but I'm not sure. But I've seen this too while I was working as a nurse. So whenever someone dies, there's always like a butterfly that shows in the room. And this happened to me many, many times. So starting off with my grandpa, when he died, in the room where he died, so all the windows are closed, nothing was open. And one of the nights when we're like holding his funeral, I needed to sleep because it was already like 2 a.m. in the morning. And then so I went to sleep in his room because I just want to feel him. I just want to smell him again because I really miss him that time. So when I'm about to close my eyes, I saw like a little white butterfly in one of the corners of the wall. And I remember my elders telling me that those are the soul of your loved ones, the person who died, and they're here because they're visiting you, or they're checking up on you, or they're letting you know that they are in peace. So that kind of gave me the reassurance that he was not suffering, or he is here with us and he is not somewhere else. And this happened to many, many times in the hospital when one of my patients died and they were cleaning the room, and then I kind of came into the room just to check if I needed something in the room, or the person left anything, or I needed to help the CNA to clean up so that they can give the belongings to the family. But then again, where I work in the med-surg floor, we're in the 10th floor. So imagine it's like the 10th, like it's super high. It's a super high building. And then I looked up in the window in that room and I saw a butterfly flying. And just think about it. How can a butterfly fly that high? I mean, probably. Again, I've never really get into the whole butterfly thingy or like studied any butterfly or how far or how high can they fly. But then it showed up in the window. And for me, I'm like, okay, that's my patient. And I do believe that it's a sign for them. It's a sign that they're trying to give you that, hey, I'm in peace. And again, it's coming from my all superstitious belief that I have from the Philippines. And I'm keeping it and I'm not forcing it to anyone. It's just my own belief type thing. But yeah, that's crazy. I cannot imagine that. I can't. Next. I used to work in a nursing home and the patients used to talk of a man in black. Oh, lordy. Not a man in black. They'd see before they or someone in the home died. I cared for a man who was passing away. He hadn't eaten in days and no longer was able to get out of bed. During the night, his buzzer rang, so I went to answer it. He was sat on the edge of his bed, quite the thing, and when I asked if he was all right, he said, I'm fine. The man with the briefcase has just left, but he told me that everything is going to be okay. He went back into bed and passed away the next day. The man in black became a sign that someone was going to pass. When I say it happened often, it really did. People with end-stage dementia would talk about seeing this man going in and out of the room as if looking for someone, and then shortly someone in the home would pass. Whatever you believe in, that was always weird. First of all, of all the type of ghosts, it's always a man in black. Is it like in a suit? Is it like in a robe? Because in a suit, I'll be fine. I'll be like, okay, MIB is here to pick you up. But if it's in a robe, almost like a scary like witchcraft robe, I would not trust and I would not even think about that. That could be the Grim Reaper. You know what I mean? Like But the thing is, like, I think those ghosts, those whatever entity it is, they have lived or something happened to them in that very, very same place that they stay in there. Because again, they are lost souls. Because usually, okay, this is what I believe in, is that you go to the purgatory and either you get judged there to go in hell or you go to heaven. So if you don't go in anywhere of those, you're just a lost soul in earth. And I do believe there's a lot of lost souls in earth because people get possessed, people get, you know, that's why there's priests that exist for doing exorcism. I don't know if you guys know this Italian priest, he's Father Amorth, who has been doing a lot of exorcism. And I think there is actually a movie that Russell Crowe played, who is, and he played Father Amorth, but the movie, I've seen it, it's not even the real depiction of Father Amorth, but he has done a lot of like exorcism to people who was possessed by a demon. But I do believe that these are lost souls. And sometimes some lost souls are good, but a lot of them are bad. So like, I would never communicate with these souls or take them as a sign that they're there to take people so that they can die the next day type of thing. I would get a priest and probably get that room blessed, or, you know, do your FBI search and maybe you're gonna find some dark stuff that happened in the hospital. That's why there was those black men in there, because there's just no black man existing and taking lives, you know, in a hospital. Like, no. Next. In my hospital, our PEDS unit... not the PEDS unit. So in my hospital, in our pediatric unit, was right beside the medical unit I worked on. When a person would be near death, they would see a young child with a red balloon or ball. When he appears, we would all know it was someone's time. He would take them home to play. Not take them home to play. This didn't happen once or twice. This happened every single time a person would pass. My hospital has moved facilities since I've worked there over the past 5 years. That little boy followed and took people home to play. See, guys, don't take this as a good sign that, okay, so we just wanted to let you know that your dad might see a kid, and if he did see it and he tells you guys, he's probably gonna pass away. Don't take that as a sign, or okay, someone's gonna die. You guys should stop the cycle of this, because maybe that kid isn't some good kid. You know what I mean? Maybe that kid is evil. Maybe that kid is a demon. You know what I mean? Like, All right, guys, moving on to the next story that we have here. So I work in a long-term care facility as a housekeeper, and since it's usually the final home for people who come here, they pass away here too. We had this resident, to keep confidential, the name is changed, Mr. Jones, who loved to sit at the window in our dining room and watch the scenery outside. When Mr. Jones was put on end of life, he stayed mainly in his room, with a rare occurrence of him leaving, such as for bed baths, etc. One day, I was cleaning the dining room on our unit after lunch as per usual. When I go to the table by the window, I notice Mr. Jones sitting at the window. I was so confused why Mr. Jones was outside of his room, as he was on end of life and stayed almost exclusively in bed. Concerned that Mr. Jones was out of his room, I went to one of my friends who was the healthcare aide working in the unit and also looking after Mr. Jones. I went up to him and said, "Hey, why is Mr. Jones sitting in the dining room? Isn't he on end of life?" Which the healthcare aide looked at me with an odd face and said, "What do you mean? Mr. Jones just passed away 10 minutes ago." When I tell you my jaw hit the floor, I was astonished. I was so confused how I saw him literally not even 2 minutes before I talked to the healthcare aide, so I went back to see if anyone was still by the window. Which, when I got there, no one was in the dining room. My only explanation to it was that it had to be his ghost, and it's one of the most freakiest thing that have happened to me working in long-term care, and trust me, there's more spooky stuff. Again, this is very, very muchly the same situation as like the other ones where they've seen someone who just died. And I don't know what kind of scientific explanation in this, probably some other culture or some scientist or someone who studies like paranormal stuff can explain how or why can we see ghosts of someone who just died. And that for me is really, really creepy. Again, it's like a sign of them like saying their last goodbyes, or just showing, to letting someone know that they're okay, or they're at peace. type of thing. Either way, you're either going to see them like agitated, calm, relaxed, or in distress. If you see them in distress, that's most likely because they're not in peace and something has to happen. And like I said, I've watched so many like horror movies that I am so desensitized of like ghosts and whatnot, but I still do get scared. Like, trust me, I'm such a chicken when it comes to this kind of things. And when I was younger, and we shouldn't have done this, but when I was like 15, 16, we used to go to the cemetery at midnight or at 1 a.m. and just sit there. And I'm really, really sorry. This was really disrespectful. We shouldn't have done that. But like, we did that because, again, we're super young. We're taking risks. We're so adventurous and whatnot. And honestly, like, the vibe in there in the cemetery is just really, really like negative. Like, you can feel something was off. And again, I have been this kind of like, I don't know if it's only me, but I've heard that there are other people who is probably the same as me, where I can, let's say, visit a place for the very first time, and just before entering that specific place, my body is gonna tell me how I should not go inside of that place. Like, there is a feeling of like heaviness, negativity, something. It's like my body telling me, don't go in there. Something is off on that place. And I've heard other people who saying this, that they get nauseous, they pass out, or they just feel really off and opposed to like going inside a place or something because it's their body telling them. I do also believe that there are people who's have their third eye open. That's why they can see things. Because I have had like family members or friends who's been telling me that, yeah, I can see other people who's not alive, but it's just so, I'm just so like desensitized to it, and it's not so normal to me that I don't really care anymore, I'm not distinguishing them differently from each one anymore, alive or dead. But I was like, I would be crazy if that happens to me. And again, it's not all mental illness, because some people are like, oh my god, they're probably just schizophrenic, or they're probably just this and this and this. I know I'm a man of science and I do believe in science, but there are things that do exist in this world, and as much as people deny it, just like how the UFO situation right now, people are pushing that it's true, but before, people are denying, they're calling people who have seen UFOs and aliens crazy, but now they're not denying it and they're telling us that, hey, actually aliens are real and you should believe it and they do exist. So if they do exist, then so why would you deny the fact that ghosts exist or demons exist or things like that doesn't exist? Like, if one exists, the others exist too. Like, it's not pick whichever you want to believe type of thing. They do all exist type of thing. So yeah. No. Next. I work in postpartum night shift in a really old hospital in downtown LA. I was answering call lights, and around 3 a.m. a call went off and I asked, can I help you? A soft and manly voice answered, she needs help. I told the nurse and the room number, and the nurse looked at me funny and said, are you sure? That patient is by herself with her baby and speaks Spanish only. I said, well, someone is in there, answered me in English. We thought maybe it was a visitor, but I knew no one's gone through our locked doors because I was the charge of call lights and the door. We went to check the patient in the room. We found the mom clutching her baby and she was in tears, speaking in Spanish and saying, fantasma, which later found out to be translated as ghosts in English. She told another nurse who spoke Spanish that someone was behind the curtain taking peeks at them. She could not reach the call light that fell on the floor. We took the baby and the patient and transferred her to another room. First of all, thank you so much for believing her and what she said and actually transfer her to another room. Because some people will just be like, oh my god, you just need sleep, you're probably just tired. Again, not everyone is crazy, not everyone is suffering on some type of mental illness, and I'm not saying you have to be suffering with that, but what I'm trying to say is that some people actually do see things, do see entities that doesn't exist, that most of us don't see. And it's just hard to not be believed at what you're saying and be called crazy for something you literally, like, if someone is if someone is like tachycardic, sweating literally in fear, why would you think they're crazy? Like, why would you think they're lying about what they're trying to say? It's most probably because they actually saw something. And I'm so happy that they actually believe her and move her to another room, because nothing is more scarier than staying on that room for the rest of the night and no one is believing what you're saying. And you're just holding your baby. You should have prayed with her. You should have given her like a rosary or like a water, like a holy water. Next. I had a quad trach teenager that was alert and oriented times 4 with no neurodeficiency, wakes up freaking out at 2 a.m. swearing that someone was in his room. He freaked me out enough that I turned every light in his room on and check in every nook and cranny, even if no human could possibly fit in it. No family was there, and I had been sitting right outside his room the entire time, being my only patient. He mouthed to me that the description of the person as being a teen boy, his age, but didn't recognize him, and he was just sitting in a chair in the corner of the room. I finally just medicated him and he went back to sleep. Not the medication, girl. I mean, probably to help him calm down and whatnot, but not 10 minutes later, the teen boy next door, who is also trach in alert and oriented times 4, starts arguing with his nurse, saying the same thing. The next week, the nurse for the other boy pulled me aside and said the parents of a teen who died in my patient's room the year before brought in a picture of him on the anniversary of his death, which was that day. Wow, that is a real reoccurrence. Again, if you are given a situation where not just one, but two people are saying the same thing, you better freaking believe it. And you have a history in here, a history of someone who died on that very specific place in that very specific unit, and he's showing up on his death anniversary. That is probably because he's trying to communicate with someone, because he has. I do believe though that ghosts are trying to communicate sometimes. The reason why they're showing up with other people other than the fact that to scare them or whatever, it's because they want to communicate something to someone. The one thing I hate though is when people try to communicate with them without the intention of like finishing it or helping them and just play around, because that happens a lot in different situations. And I don't know if you guys know this place in Japan. I don't know where exactly it was, but it was the Death Forest in Japan. And whenever people go on that forest, they never come back and you can never see them again. And they have seen many like bodies, like skulls and skeletons and shoes and clothes of people who have not been found and who have been missing for like years. And that apparently forest, and there was a movie about it, and I think like even Logan Paul did something very disrespectful on that forest. But anyways, so that forest exists and there are so many lost souls in that forest, and apparently that's where people go if they wanna, you know, if they wanna harm themselves, or if they feel like guilty for what they've done and they wanna harm themselves, they go on that forest. And it's really creepy and it's really crazy, and I never wanna visit it. But so many people are so intrigued by it that they actually go in it. Like, why would you do that? That to me is too much. Like, don't you wanna live? Don't you wanna be in peace with yourself? Don't you not want to be bothered by like spirits? Because these spirits are desperate for someone to help them, you know, I guess, get in touch with their loved ones or say sorry or do something with someone alive. So they would bother you until they get what they want. So why would you put yourself in that situation? Never, ever. Next. I was working the night shift on the oncology unit, and there was an old lady who I had not seen before that shift. She was dying and she was fine with that, but she couldn't sleep, so I was chatting with her while charting in her room. Then out of nowhere, she says, "I think I'll go now." I asked, "Where are you going?" She said, "To heaven. Your grandma is here to pick me up." I said, "My grandma?" She said, "Yes, I can tell where you got your kindness from." So I asked her, "How do you know it's my grandma?" She replied, "Well, she told me her name is Maria, right? A small Indonesian woman." I was stunned, as my grandma is indeed a small Indonesian woman named Maria. She died a couple of years ago, but I did not know this patient, nor was she from the same area as my grandma or me, and I am so goddamn white. I am so goddamn white. I'm almost see-through. You wouldn't think I'm part Indonesian. And I hadn't told this patient. I'm shocked. I am shocked to my core. This is so creepy, but at the same time, it's a relief because I feel like if a patient tells me like, oh, your grandpa tell, like, I know where you got your kindness is from your grandpa. And I would know that my grandpa is actually watching me. A lot of times though, like I still talk to him. I kind of like always ask him. I always tell him, I was like, I hope you're here. I hope you're seeing me. I hope you're proud of me. I hope, you know, you're not mad for the bad things I have done in my life. And I hope you watch me, you guide me, you try to get me in the right path, and you're always there for me. And I hope really he's watching me every now and then. And I hope he's happy where I am right now in life. And I do believe though that the people you love are always watching you. They're always there. You don't see them, but they always are present and probably screaming for you, cheering for you. Know that they are so proud of you and they're screaming for you. They're always there for you. They're guiding you. They're protecting you. Oh, that is so sweet. And it's creepy, but at the same time, it kind of gives you this sense of feeling of like, oh, my grandma is watching me. My grandma is actually there for me. And, you know, he's communicating with a patient to probably tell me a message that, hey, I'm here, my love. Okay, so there's a continuation of this story. I asked her why my grandma would come for her since they didn't know each other. The patient said, well, she said since we both love Mini Coopers, the car, she thought it would be nice to come pick me up in her red Mini Cooper. My grandma drove around in her red Mini Cooper for as long as I've known her. Kind of nice, but scared the shit out of me. She passed away peacefully about 3 hours later, surrounded by her family. What? Okay, this is like creepy, but at the same time, like, oh my god, your grandma is assisting another person's soul. That Mini Cooper is probably the train, the car to heaven. And they're gonna be in peace. And it's so nice that, you know, she passed away in peace, surrounded by her loved ones, by her family. That is cute. I'm actually not creeped out with that. I'm from Mexico. And we have plenty of legends in the hospital. Many of them aren't real, or that's what I used to believe until it happened to me. When my ex-boyfriend was at the hospital during his practice, he's a doctor. I used to go with him. I was in my first year of nursing school, so I knew the basic of the hospital. So we used to split the work. I would check half of the patient and he would do the others. One night, I was doing the rounds and I saw a patient coming out into the hallway. She had a long hair and a hospital gown. So I decided to follow her and asked if she needed anything to get her back to bed. Once I reached the hallway, the patient wasn't there. So I checked the bathroom and it wasn't anywhere to be seen. I stayed in the hallway waiting in case she went to another room. I was there for a couple of minutes until another nurse asked me what I was doing and I told her about the person I saw. She simply told me, honey, the one you saw died last night. Her body is in the morgue. Why are they there? Why don't they follow their body in the morgue? I could never ever go in the morgue. I have heard many, many stories of nurses bagging a patient and bringing them in the morgue. I would never do it. No matter how much you pay me, I am not going in the morgue and bringing that body alone in an elevator. No, no, no. I'm just imagining it. I could never. It freaks me the hell out. My mind is so like goddamn anxious that my thinking is that if I go inside the morgue, one of those bags is just gonna move and I'm gonna be stuck there and they're all gonna stand up. I cannot. No. Mm-mm-mm. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that, baby. Whew. Okay. Last story, you guys. Are you ready for this one? Let's do it. Here's my story. This story was told by my CNA friend. Let's call her Mary, who worked in the oncology unit. One of the dying patients in the comfort care room 8 in the 5th floor told her that she didn't want to go because she didn't want to leave her son. One night shift, she suddenly passed away. Mary, the CNA, had to go down to the morgue at the basement to get the stretcher to pick up the patient on the 5th floor. The elevator goes from 4th floor to the 6th floor and skip 5th floor, and it goes on on for 30 minutes back and forth. Maria was terrified and shocked. After 30 minutes, the elevator finally made a stop at the fifth floor. Inside the patient room, while picking up the expired patient in room 8, the stretcher won't fit to exit the door out when it was perfectly fine to enter her room. The primary nurse decided to leave the expired patient in room 8 till morning until the transporter picks her up. This gave time for the patient's son to visit the mom in her deathbed, and after that, guess what? The stretcher was finally able to fit the door to exit the room. The patient was probably just waiting for the final visit of her son, and after that, she was okay to go. Wow. But really though, I have had seen those kind of situation where patients who are near death will hold on tight until they have seen the person they have been waiting for. They could be coming from Europe, Asia, wherever it is. Some people will hold on tight to their dear life even though they're suffering until they can finally say their goodbyes to the person they love the most, to the person that they're waiting for. And after that, they always pass away right away. Like, give them like 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and even literally in the moment they were able to hold the hand of the person they were waiting for, they would just pass away. And I do believe that, you know, this situation do exist. Like, a ghost has, I guess, powers, like supernatural ability to make this happen until they can finally be in peace. Because a lot of souls just want to be in peace, and being in peace means that they either connect with the person they love the most, or they resolve the situation they have been wanting to before they die, and they make this happen for some reason. And that's a lot to dig in. You guys, are you guys okay? I hope you're not listening to this while you're a night shift, because girl, one of those rooms right now is gonna be beeping, girl, and you're not gonna see anyone, or you're gonna see a lot, or maybe where are you gonna be taking your break tonight? Or it's day, stay in daytime, take some day shifts or something like that. Oh my god, you guys, that is our first horror story episode, and wow, I have never seen a ghost in my life, and I don't think I would ever want to. And actually, before we end this episode, I want to tell you guys another story, and this again happened, and it's my grandma who told me about this story, and it's for you to believe it or for you not to believe it. And again, these are things that exist in the Philippines, and it could probably exist to another places, to a country or whatever, but here's the story. So my grandma and my grandpa, they met in a province, and they live in a province that is really, really small, and there's a lot of trees and forests and whatnot. When they decided to live together, they live in this small house. It's a hut, so it's not even a house, it's a hut that they live in. Anyways, my grandpa's job, so that he can make money and provide for my grandma, is that he climbed trees and he picks tamarinds and he put it on a sack and he sells it in the village so that he can get money, and they price it by weight, so the more he can get, the more money he can get. So anyway, so while he was doing that, he does that every weekend, because I used to come with him and be the person to always have the sack so he can just throw it while he's in the tree, and I catch it. I try to catch them, or I pick them in the floor and put it in the sack, and I would come with him, and he would buy me like chicken or ice cream as a reward. Anyways, so he does that, and he's been doing that for a while before he decided he wanted another job, which is like driving like a tricycle. You know, it's like an Uber that people can pay for. Anyways, so before that, he used to pick tamarinds and sell those. And since where he was picking some, and there was this girl who lived in another hut quite close to where they're living. And I think she was attracted to my grandpa, and she really liked my grandpa. And she asked my grandpa if they could date, or that I think she confessed her love to him. But my grandpa said, "I'm really sorry, but I am with someone else, and I don't have the same feelings for you." And then so what happened is, I think the girl cursed my grandpa, because 2-3 days after, my grandpa starts convulsing. He started like speaking in this really deep, loud, scary voice, and they don't know what to do. They don't want to bring him to the hospital, because again, going to the hospital in the Philippines, you have to have money. So then they resorted by calling this guy. He basically heals you with using like leaves and whatnot. He is kind of also an exorcist, I would say, because he would exorcise people who's experiencing some type of supernatural things. And what he does is basically he went to my grandma's house where my grandpa is convulsing and not feeling really well. He took a bowl, he filled it with water, he lit up a candle, and he let the candle drip in the water. So then those drip forms shape, and the shape will tell him who is cursing my grandpa. And then it's just so, I don't know how to explain. I mean, I didn't see it because, I mean, they didn't have kids before, but my grandma's telling me because, you know, they experienced it. And she was telling me that it formed like a face of a woman, and that's when they know that it was her. So what they did is they took that shape, and he said some prayers and whatnot, and the guy basically hit my grandpa with like long leaves in his legs, he pulled my grandpa's hair in his chest. He hit him, it's almost like a rope, you know what I mean, to hurt not my grandpa but the person who's trying to control my grandpa. And then at some point he was able to release my grandpa from the chain of the curse. And then they said that the next day they saw the woman with a lot of bruises in her body, and they for sure know that it was her. So they had to like leave that place where they live because they know it's not safe to be there. And I don't know if you guys are gonna believe in that or not, but I do believe in what my grandma said, because she told me that like when I was like a kid, and she still tells me that story every single time. And I do believe her, because again, a lot of things happens in the Philippines. We believe in white ladies, someone who, like, if you're pregnant, you have to watch out, because at night there's this, it's like a demon that crawls in your roof, and it has a really long tongue, and what it does, it takes your fetus, your baby, away from you, like inside you. So they always make sure that they have like rosaries and holy water and everywhere where the pregnant mom is sleeping, and they make sure that all the windows are sealed or the doors are closed, everything is sealed. Because sometimes, like, I remember like when my auntie was pregnant, we actually did hear like a walking noise inside in the roof. Because again, in the Philippines, we don't really have something to cover, like we don't have a ceiling, it's just literally the roof. So you can hear when there is something that falls in the roof, and we hear like walking in the roof, and it was really crazy. But again, that's my story. I mean, it's for you to believe and not to believe, but that's my story. And yeah, well, thank you guys for listening to this episode of our podcast. And I don't know if you still want another one of these, but I think since it's October and it's Halloween season, I mean, we gotta keep going with this. Thank you guys so much for listening. And again, before you go, please do me a favor, make sure you download this episode and the past episode, make sure you follow our podcast, turn on notification, and make sure you share it and tag I Beg Your Pardon on Instagram. And stay tuned on my Instagram account, because I always ask questions so you can share your real life situation so you can unload it inside of you. Again, this is your therapy podcast. I want you to feel like you can share things in here, because you cannot share it to your family who doesn't understand you, or your management doesn't understand you. And in this podcast, everyone here validates your feeling, understands you, and you are safe in here. I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you guys so much, and see you again next time. Mwah.